As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, folks. This is Jason Lewis, the producer of the From the Shadows podcast. I just want to remind you about our website, FromTheShadowsPodcast.com. We have a Facebook page. We would appreciate it if you like and follow. Also, join our discussion group on Facebook called After the Shadows. We have a Twitter feed. Please follow us on Twitter. It can be found with @podcast_from. Follow us on Instagram @FromTheShadowsPodcast. We have a YouTube channel. Go to the search bar of YouTube and put From the Shadows Podcast, and please subscribe to that channel. We also have a Patreon page. It can be found at www.patreon.com/FromTheShadows. You can receive books, stickers, coffee mugs, and special content just for our Patreon subscribers. Check it out for yourself and see what packages that we have to offer. Well, that's all I have for you right now, folks. And thanks for being a part of the From the Shadows podcast family. So with that being said, let's get this episode started.
So, Howler, first show of 2022. How do you feel?
You know, I have mixed emotions. I'll be honest with you. I have mixed emotions.
Well, what are those mixed emotions?
Well, you know, from the time you talked to me earlier today to today. Well, I'm just going to put it out there, okay? I'm just going to put it out there.
Right.
I don't want to sound like Mark Maron complaining about the world or my life.
Okay.
But, okay. I got my garage and yard looks like a motorsports showroom of 20-year-old motorsports, right? So I told my kids the other day, I said, hey, why don't we, now I've got a new four-wheeler I bought in 2018, Polaris, fuel injected, automatic, doesn't miss a lick. So I tried to talk my kids in. I said, let's sell a couple of these old ones, and then I'll just buy y'all a new one. You know what I mean?
Is it 2018 an old one?
No, that's the one they gravitate toward. They gravitate to mine.
Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, I went to Arizona last week?
Yeah. Yep.
Did I talk about it in the podcast? I don't remember. Did I talk about it last week on the podcast?
You were trying to find George Norrie coast to coast and failed.
Yeah. So anyway, well, one of the fine machines I took was a 2010 K&AM DS250. It's a little automatic sport quad, nothing fancy, but they're good kids four-wheelers, you know what I mean? And my cousin's kid wanted to ride it out in the desert. So we got way out in the middle of nowhere, and then he didn't want to ride it back. He wanted to get in his grandpa's side-by-side and ride home. So the only way I could get my little four-wheelers back is I rode it, okay? And so I rode it. I don't remember. I rode 38 miles one day, okay?
Holy crap, okay.
Yeah, and, 38 miles on my big fuel injector job. So anyway, to make a long story even longer, I had two little ones. I put them on Facebook Marketplace. The first one, I had 50 people call me, and the first person looked at it, sold it. I bought it, paid me cash. My brother is texting me saying, dude, why are you got these priced so cheap? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I don't know what they're worth anymore, and I don't know. So I got back to this other one. I had 18 people. When I say call me, they message through my wife's Facebook thing because I don't Facebook, right? So anyway, nobody shows up. And I finally got somebody show up a while ago. And I drove it up to get the mail. I drove it all around today. People show up, look at it, and I can't get it to start.
Oh, God. That's about right, though, right? I mean.
Yeah. So then I flooded it. Of course, my, a part of it is because my daughter was sitting there and she was, you and me go out and start it for you. And I said, no, I know how to start it because the kids ride it, right?
So she thinks she knows the magic trick.
Well, she obviously knows more than me because I couldn't get the damn thing started. And I rode it at noon today to get the mail, but I haven't rode it since. So, and then I flooded it. And then I was going to put a new plug in it earlier. Anyway, I never did. Anyway, I ended up putting the plug in it and starting it up. And it ran fine, ran great. And the guy says, well, first he says it's too rough, and I said, okay. Well, then he starts wanting to know if I'll take less. Okay, which is it, dude? Too rough for you, or you want to just talk me down, right? It can't be both.
Because now you're going to feel bad if it's too rough for him. You're just not going to sell him at any price because you don't want him to you don't want to take an inferior product,
He said it's a little rougher, and I said, you know what? I got a Honda right here you can have for $2,500. And it's 15 years older than this. It's a 1991, so it's almost a collector's item. It's 30 years old, and it looks like mint. And he's like, well, that's more than I want to pay for my kids. I said, well, there you go. You can have one or the other. You know what I mean? You want the $900 one, or you want the $2,500 one?
Did he take the $900 one?
No. That's the one he wanted to talk me down, because the $2,500 one ain't for sale, because it's going to collector's sale for my brother, and I guarantee you it'll bring $2,500. Because it's 30 years old and looks like new.
Yeah. I'm not in that world. I don't know that people probably do collect that stuff. I'm sure.
Well, it doesn't matter about the world, ATV world. That's just the world you're in, right? Because everybody knows everything, right? Just ask them.
Seemingly.
Just ask them. Whether you're talking politics, whether you're talking ATVs, whether you're talking civil liberties, whether you're talking vaccines, everybody knows everything. Just to ask them.
And they learned it. They learned it on Facebook.
I don't know, because I'm not on Facebook, but hey, you guys, people don't tune in and listen to me harp about the dumbasses that I meet every day, but I meet some dumbasses, right?
I think maybe they do tune in for that.
I meet some dumbasses. I only had one other dude. I had one other dude that come and looked at it, and he showed up in a Gulfstream jacket. As in, and he looks like he's a short guy, and I don't want to rail on short people because I might have some short fans, but he reminds me of another friend of mine, who's a short guy. And he makes up with it by dressing meticulous at all times, right? Yeah. So this dude shows up, and he's got this big teenage looking kid, 15, 16 year old kid. And in the conversation, I said, well, this ain't for you, is it? Because it's a little smaller. No, I got my, the kids, he takes after his dad. He's got an attitude. But back to the Gulfstream jacket. So he's wearing a Gulfstream jacket, and he tells me triumphantly that he works at the airport.
Oh, okay. Not that he owned Airstream. He just might fly.
Gulfstream. Yeah, because I wanted to say, hey, what are you flying? 450, 550. Have you been in the new 650 yet? You know what I'm saying? But then I thought, why? Because he's looking down at me because I'm down here in the Ozarks with a gravel driveway and two dogs ready to attack at any minute, five country cured hams hanging from the garage ceiling. And Hold on, let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ATVs sitting there, one of which is taken apart, but and 2 4-door Chevy pickups. Do what? And a bass boat with water in my cover.
Okay, hey, so look,
you're going to come down here and tell me that just because you're wearing a rocking a Gulfstream jacket, you got some shit going on. You ain't got nothing going on, Jack. You know,
there was, we talked about this last week. I heard the story. You mentioned your dogs.
That's right. We did mention the dog.
And I was blown away by this story I heard in the news about, was it over in India where the dog killed the baby monkey, and the band of monkeys got together and killed the dog, like just threw it off. I mean, I don't know how.
Was it 255 or 355?
It was 255. Rampaging
monkeys killed 250 dogs in India revenge massacre. In the small Indian village, around 250 dogs have been dragged to the tops of buildings and trees and dropped by a crew of raging primates.
Well, first of all, how tall would buildings be in a village in India, or wouldn't have to be that tall?
Well, it says it's 300. Okay, it's in the Bead district, about the Bead district, and I'm not making that up, right? The Bead district.
Okay.
About 300 miles east of Mumbai, told News 18, the monkeys have been on a quest for revenge in a nearby Lavul village. Not a single dog has survived the purge. Villagers told the outlet the killings started a month ago when a few dogs killed an infant monkey, and since then, the moment a dog is spotted, simians,
monkey.
S-I-M-I-A-N-S, yeah, is that,
monkey.
Is that
that's a monkey. That's a monkey.
Okay. Well, I'm from the Ozarks. They're all the same to us.
Okay.
Simians are apparently snatching up the pups and dragging them somewhere high to drop them to their deaths. In one image, the animal, there's an image here of one of these bare-ass monkeys with a little dog that looks scared.
Of course he looks scared, right?
In one image. And I think that's what me and you were talking about, running to a village. It's got 5,000 villagers. The villagers called the forest department for help dealing with primates, but when the officials came, they were unable to catch a single monkey, the outlet reported. The villagers decided to take action themselves and try to wrangle up the beast, but the simians then turned their sights on a local man, some of whom have been injured after falling from buildings while trying to save dogs, the outlet said. Nearly all the pups in the Bee district have been killed, but the monkeys still haven't stopped and are now targeting small children en route to school, the outlet said.
So I heard that story, and the only person I can really call and discuss that with is you. Because you're a world traveler.
That's because I am a dog lover. I am a traveler of India. And I have, I've told you how I've scaled small trees with a 357 Magnum to save the honor of Walker Coonhound. So I guarantee you, I'm looking at this one. Looks like a beagle almost, and a little monkey. So. First of all, it says pups in the article. My dogs, you'd be a hell of a monkey to get my fat dogs, especially my big one. Billy, it's all I can do to get him in the pickup sometimes, and he wants to go in there. So there ain't a monkey around, certainly in the state of Missouri or Arkansas, that can get him to a building. But
well, I heard that on another news show while I was out delivering mail, and I started thinking, I'm like, so I think I got trouble with dogs on the mail route. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you're delivering mail with monkeys up and down the street. Like, what?
You like, know, what? I got, I, you know, I didn't, you, when you called and asked me about it, I knew all about it. I knew what the headline said, but you said, how come we didn't talk about it? And I didn't want to talk about it because it bothered me on many levels. It bothered me, first of all, as a lover of dogs, that these dogs got killed.
I understand that, yeah.
A lover of people saying, okay, let me get this straight. The headline says that these monkeys are now stalking little children. How many children would it take bef- before you would have to take, I don't want to say matters in your own hand, but I guarantee you, if a monkey come to down my neighborhood, and I live on a dead-end gravel road, right? My youngest boy got a Henry Golden Boy 22 long rifle for Christmas from Santa Claus. And I guarantee you, before he'd get attacked by a monkey more than once, that he would introduce them. I doubt if he'd go with the 22. He'd probably just go straight to 410 or 1022 automatic, or dare I say it, I'm going to say it, I'm just going to put it out there, okay, AR-15. And there wouldn't be a monkey around.
Well, you'd probably have some monkey rump roast hanging from the rafters, you know, along what I'm with saying? The hands, right? Yeah.
So the fact that these grown men in this village look for the authorities to save their dogs and children, as opposed to walking out there and doing it, bothers me, but doesn't surprise me, right? Which is one of the reasons why I love going to India. I have had the pleasure of going to India, and it's like...
Were a monkey sacred in India at all, like... Cows and
I don't know. Cows are, but you know, I every once in a while I read a headline where they lynch people over there for doing the wrong thing. Heaven forbid. I know they think the monkeys in Mumbai screwing around, because you get in Mumbai and stuff. Now, I was there shortly after the attacks on the Taj Mahal. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's the Taj Mahal terror attacks, and every street corner had a Indian policeman with a FNFAL battle rifle. I mean, we got off the airplane at the airport, and the airport had these old British-looking, you know, Land Rover Defenders with 50 cals in the turret. You know what I mean?
So For monkeys.
But, you know, I've got a collection of books, some of which don't have pictures, and they were written about Victorian East Africa in the exploration, and some would say exploitation of the African continent by the Anglo Saxon English speaking people. But one guy talks about how he had taken over at post World War One. I guess the British took a bunch of the German holdings over there, and one of these guys homesteaded an old German farm. And I think they were baboons.
Ooh, those are nasty. Those are extra.
He had talked about this farm had been fallow for 2 or 3 years. So him and his native farm workers, employees, if you will, moved in, took over this farm, and how the baboons were scaring them all the time. And they would try to scare them and make loud noises and one thing after another. And one day, one of these baboons killed a native child. I guess sunk its little canines right into the head and killed it. So his natives were going to quit. And I think it might have been a coffee plantation. But anyway, The natives were going to quit because they thought that these baboons were possessed. You know what I'm saying?
Evil spirits.
Evil spirits. And this gentleman had to explain to them he had the cure for those evil spirits. So in the form of a Winchester pre-64 375 H&H, which for you gun people out there would be just almost on the verge of too much for even the worst baboons. But that's what he had. And he went out there and he had to wage war. And in his writings, he talked about every 3 or 4 or 5 years, there would be a new generation of young primates out there tearing stuff up. And you would have to go make an example out of enough of them. But in this first one, he went and started whacking all the full-grown males, and he left some matriarchal, some grown females, but essentially had to chase them and put the fear of God on him. And he talks about how it bothered him a little bit, worse than trench warfare in the big war, because these monkeys truly were terrified after he had killed a few of them, you know, these baboons. But so, you know, I think that another thing that shows you how far the Commonwealth and its countries have fallen, because, you know, even the tigers, right? We had they had the man eating a Savo, and then they reach out and get some ne'er-do-well British colonel and goes out and kills the tigers and appeases the natives. And they just don't have any Anglo-Saxon conquerors left to go out there and whack these primates.
Tigers or monkeys or whatever. It's interesting. Look, that's the same problem from 100 years ago going on, right? I mean,
yeah, still, I mean, yeah, absolutely. It just reinvents itself, I guess. I don't know. I just know that if I thought that there was an animal out there that was going to kill my dog, I would take matters into my own hands, right?
I think there's a lot of dog owners that would, yeah.
Back to these monkeys. I went to school with a guy who went to jungle school. My generation of dudes, army guys, were counter drug guys. Most of them, if you got into that world in the late 80s, you got to go to jungle warfare school down like Panama or somewhere in Central America. Remember, they were finding Pablo Escobar and doing all that stuff. And my buddy was telling me how one of the things to do in jungle school is eat a monkey.
Really?
Yes. So if you go to SEER school, survival, escape, and resistance school, like Joint Base Lewis and McChord, I got a real good friend of mine that I should get on the podcast one of these days, maybe. He's real smart, though, so real smart people don't do the best conversations. But they have rabbit hutches. And they make these pilots and aircrew kill a rabbit. Now it's a tame rabbit, but they got to go in there and teach them how to kill a rabbit and prepare it, you know, in case they get shot down where rabbits live or whatever. So
they don't starve.
So they don't starve because a lot of people, especially new, you know what I mean, like your grandpa's era, grew up on a farm and knew how to kill a rabbit or kill a squirrel or, you know what I mean. But some of these people have never been blooded. They've never killed anything. They certainly never set their little money foo-foo or whatever and whop him on the head. So I'm talking to my old roommate about this jungle school, and I said, how do you do it? And he said, well, what you do is you really don't need anything to do it. You either get a piece of 550 cord. If you don't have 550 cord, you unlace one of your boots.
Okay.
You take that, you know, your army canteen that's got the plastic top, but it's got the metal bottom, the cup that comes off. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So you take your silver aluminum cup off the bottom and you tie it to a tree, fill it half full of water, and you walk back and these monkeys will come down there because it's silver. They'll pick it up and they'll drink from it and they'll try to take it. And when you walk up to them, he says, they will screech and scream and holler, but they will not let go of that cup. Once they have it in their hands, they won't let, and they will let you knock them on the head or skewer them with a bayonet, but they will not let go of that silver cup.
That sort of sounds like a lot of humans.
So, yeah, I do. That is right. I didn't think about it like that. And he says what happens is the whole jungle canopy erupts in screeching monkeys and stuff, but that's how you do it. So I don't know. If you tied, I guess they wouldn't be able to take a dog on a chain, would they? Because then they would sit there and.
Oh, man. I saw a Bigfoot show where the guy actually, to draw the Bigfoot in, he had no other choice but to tie his dog out there to draw the Bigfoot in.
Well, how do we know Bigfoots are attracted to dogs?
I don't know. He had some experience doing it. Like they were messing with his dog. I think he was a guest. I take that back. He was a guest on the show telling us about that. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah. He was, you know, he was kind of like, I'm sorry to all the people who love dogs, but I didn't have a choice. Now the dog didn't get hurt.
Yeah. I was going to say, did Bigfoot come out and get the dog? I mean, that would certainly outweigh. I mean,
it drew him in.
Yeah. I mean, if you really thought Bigfoot was going to, I don't know if I'd sacrifice my dog, but I might sacrifice somebody else's dog. Or if a dog will do it, why can't we tie a person up?
You know, hey, listen, I have some people that might be perfect for that.
Exactly. You know, especially,
I don't want to sound terrible. I mean, everybody knows we're joking, right? We're not really going to tie anybody up.
Well, are we really going to find Bigfoot?
that we know. I mean, you know.
Right. That's the big thing. Are we really going to find Bigfoot?
You know how I feel right now. I couldn't even find my own Bigfoot. You know what I'm saying?
That's because, hey, should we tell your listeners this could be your last show because you're suffering from a respiratory virus that could be Omicron? And you called in sick for the first time in 5 years?
It's about 7 years. I've called it. Okay, I already called in sick.
So that's to me, that's a sickness in its own. But that's neither here nor there.
That I don't call in sick more often.
Yeah, you're a government worker, man. What's it matter?
Well, listen.
You're going to add that to your retirement when you retire, right?
I can, but if it was any day but Monday, Monday's a bad day. Nobody likes being there on Monday, and I didn't want to have a open route. So I went in and suffered, you know, but they were nice enough to give me tomorrow off, and then my regular day off is Wednesday. So I've already come home and slept for 4 hours trying to get rid of whatever it is I got.
There you go. Hey, you know what? I think, you know, since we talked about the monkey story, we should reach out to our audience and ask them how they like the, I don't want to say pseudo new format, but where we kind of talk about current events, because me and you talk about current events a lot off the podcast, and we've just decided that maybe we should broach that out. You know, we had some listeners on the edge thinking that we were going to throw in the towel here, and that wasn't necessarily what was going on. We were just revamping, you know what I mean?
We're always searching for what's going to the listener, you know, what the listeners are going to enjoy. Like, look, I told you before, I enjoyed the historical monkey story about, you know, the guy taking over the
coffee plantation. I'm reading a new book right now called Wooden Leg. I think it's the man that fought Custer. I don't think it says Indian, but he was an Indian, neither here nor there. And I tried to read my kids some excerpts last night, and you want to talk about some tough people now. That's why I think that's why there's no monkeys in North America, because the Native Americans
had to take care of, they had to eat
them. Let me tell you something. If they, some of these stories where they go out there with a sharpened stick and a rock they picked up off the ground and kill or be killed by 2,000-pound buffalo, makes me think that a monkey don't stand a chance.
So they went out buffalo hunting with a sharpened stick and a rock.
They would go out. These were the Northern Cheyenne, and they were at war with the Sioux. I'm getting my Indians mixed up. They were sort of friendly with the Lakota, at war with the Sioux and Crow and Blackfoot. Maybe they were friendly. Anyway, dude, they'd just go out. You'd be out riding their horse, and they'd get ambushed and bushwhacked and have to either fight or run or a combination thereof. And they talk about just finding these guys that, you know, they're out, three or four of them, and you see two of the other tribes, so you chase them down. These two guys sought shelter in a cave, so one of his Indians was going to crawl up there and see if they were in, really, they tracked them to this cave. If they were in the cave, well, the dude in the cave stabbed a guy in the eye with a, you know, took an arrow in the eye, but didn't kill him. So then they proceeded to stuff the front of the cave full of combustibles and light them on fire and wave blankets and grass and stuff and to smoke them out. And one of them come out to fight. And, you know, they surround them and kill them. And the other one they let burn up, and they just went ahead and chopped his heart out anyway. Or not even doing that. Hey, you know, we seen this big buffalo, and there's five of us in a hunting party. We decided we'd go out there. Of course, they all got Indian names, like, you know, he's wooden leg because he can outwalk everybody, and they think his legs don't get tired. You know, and it'd be like, you know, Bigfoot finder got skewered, you know, got a horn through him.
Johnny Two Feathers.
Yeah, Johnny Two Feathers got skewered by the buffalo and tossed 45 feet, but we killed the buffalo anyway. And after we got done, we tried to put him on a horse and get him back to the village. But by that time, his intestines were out, so they danced around him until he died. You know,
that's crazy. That's real stuff. And I hate to say that. But me and Christy watched the whole new season of Cobra Kai.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, come on, man. It's the reboot of The Karate Kid, and it focused on the blonde dude, Johnny Lawrence, more to begin with. It's like in season four. But in that, Ralph Macchio's kid got in trouble, and they took away all of his iPad, his cell phone, and stuff like that. And he just thought it was the worst thing in the world. You know what I'm saying? So imagine if they said, you know what, you got in trouble at school, you got to go out and kill a buffalo with a pocket knife and a piece of dental floss.
Well, I think it segues into. Shortly after 9/11, I was assigned to the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Artesia, New Mexico, as a firearms instructor, which was kind of one of the things I did. And we had shooters of all ilk, right? I mean, all the way up to including Navy SEALs and Green Berets and Delta Force. But then we had first-time shooters, too, and we spent a lot of time. But when I was off, I'd have to go out there for 6 weeks at a time. So I'd go back to the field office and work for 6 weeks, and I had to go to FLETC for 6 weeks and teach and coordinate and do whatever. And in the off time, the first guy I went out there was an old Border Patrol dude, former Marine, just a good guy. And when I was talking to him, I'd never met him. I was talking to him, and he said, well, I'm bringing my varmint rifle. I said, you're what? He said, I'm bringing a varmint rifle because I've been out there before, and there's a lot of jackrabbits and coyotes. And so I brought a varmint rifle, too. And what we ended up doing is going out and into the, there's tens of thousands of acres where we were at of Bureau of Land Management ground full of jackrabbits and rattlesnakes and really nothing. Okay. But we got to where we were trying to, me and him would go out and try to shoot a jackrabbit with our duty pistols. Right.
Yeah.
And I used to say at the range and in the class, if we could give you 10 bullets, right, we can put you through this entire 6 week pistol course, or we could just give you 10 bullets. If you could go out there and bring us one jackrabbit back, you pass. You know what I mean? Because it was difficult because you got to have tactics. I mean, these jackrabbits, you know, they're worried about a shadow, a cloud casts a shadow on the ground, and they all take off running because they think it's an eagle or something. It's craziness. And so that goes back to your toothbrush and piece of dental floss. Yeah, sometimes I think you could really get the cream to rise to the top if you had real world circumstances.
Yeah, look, we're not, you got to tell these kids, look, you're not worried about crazy monkeys or jackrabbits running around.
I don't think, you know, my kids said something about, what did they say? What were they saying to me? There was somebody on the radio was talking about a Beatles song, or somebody was, it was, I don't remember how it was, a Beatles, and my kids were making fun of the Beatles and making fun of boomers in general. And I'm not really a boomer, but let's just say that they don't know the difference, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what were they called? They were calling me something, and I said, just call me the walrus, cuckoo, ca-choo. And they were like, what? That stopped them. It stopped three of them. They were verbally attacking me, mentally assaulting me, and I am the walrus, cuckoo, ca-choo, stopped them all because they don't even know what the heck I'm talking about. So I got almost zero relation with if you've got a little white piece of plastic hanging out your ear, you know, that's, you know, as what the great auctioneer say, just walk on by.
Walk on by, Leroy Van Dyke.
Just walk on by.
Walk that's on right. by. How many of our listeners know that reference?
All of them, I'm assuming, right?
I hope.
That's a Missouri. Hey, that's a Missouri man right there. Thanks on the sign out here on US 65 in Sedalia, Missouri. Yep, that's right.
Leroy Van Dyke.
Leroy, relation to what's the other Van Dyke?
Dick.
That's right. No relation to Dick. Anyway, tune in next week for some more tips on the world and how to survive it.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast.
Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.